very pumped about this.
This is Petey Pidge.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
Righteous, introduce yourself.
Yes, well, Righteous Jolly is the name, and I'm delighted to be here. Nice to meet you, Mike.
Very nice to meet you as well, sir.
And J-Mac, is that how you're called here on Brutal Dudes?
Yes, yes. You knew me before J-Mac.
Interesting.
He's a prehistory J-Mac friend.
I will commit to J-Mac. yeah, I think this is rad. We're just catching up a bit. I was telling my wife, you know, she's like, where are you going? I'm like, I don't know.
I think that's called the Northeast.
Yeah, no. I said what I...
Jimmy's like, it's in a doctor's office?
Well, I didn't. I sent her the address, actually. So I was like, hey, FYI.
Hey.
Just in case.
If I don't come back,
yeah,
I was here.
No, of course, and I love you, you know, Jimmy Mac, J-Mac. And yeah, we were chatting about how we go back, you know, a ways. So I was telling Jaina, I said, well, there's this guy, you know, I don't see you a lot. I haven't seen you a lot
through
the years. I maybe even conservatively, once every 5 years or every 3 years, even I'd run into you here or there, and always the dream. You always brought up your dream. You brought up your ideas. You brought up, and you've been saying it since high school.
Yep.
So I told Jaina, I said, it's come. It's finally come home to roost. I'm going to get my neck adjusted at the chiropractor's office. No, and
Jimmy
so
finally made some chiropractic.
Yeah.
This is apparently what he always wanted to do.
So, no, I think it's awesome that we did it. Bro, the dream's alive.
And you can ask them. I told Mike and Pete, I'm like, if we get any guest on here, I got to get my friend Righteous on here, because when we were in the Mask of Hiroshima in high school, I remember we were sitting
cultural appropriation.
We were getting our faces painted to be in the quarter. Remember this? We were sitting in the green room, and we just started fucking around on instruments. I started playing the bongos.
Yeah.
And because we just got back from Disney, and I was playing the fucking bongos at Disney, and that was my claim
like
to fame.
Professionally playing the bongos at Disney?
Good gig.
Sort of. It was Blazing Pianos was
what the fuck happens at Disney?
Oh, dude, we went to a Blazing Piano show for our senior year. Were you there?
No.
No, you weren't there. I went up, Volpe got me up on stage. And I was like, I remember I was sitting with Chris Delosier, another kid who we went to high school with. And I was like, do you think they'll let me play the bongos for this? Because there's just bongos sitting in the back and they're playing all these songs. And I called up to the guy while in the middle of like when they were done a song. I'm like, hey, do you think I could play the bongos for a song? And the guy was like, yeah, yeah. Like, he blew me off. And I'm like, fuck that guy. And Delosier's like, yeah, he was a dick. And then he came back and he's like, you still want to play? And I'm like, fuck yeah, you're cool, man. And so I went up on stage and they did Eye of the Tiger. And I had no formal, my dad bought me a bongo. And it was just a bongo. And
like boy in his bongo.
Yeah. And I would just play. And so I just went up on stage. I had no training. I didn't know how to follow a rhythm.
How are we not making a movie about this?
It is tailor-made
It really like it should be one of those like it like 8 Mile, but it's about a guy who wants to play bongos.
Yeah.
I want that movie.
Clarence. My bongo's name is Clarence. But I went up on stage and I played the bongos and
to Eye of the Tiger.
And then what happened was amazing. Not everybody was getting into the show. And I did like, I was such an asshole. I was like, I played and I did the best I could to keep up with it, which I mean, it's really not tough to play. It is tough to play the bongos well, but it's not tough to play the bongos.
Sure.
So, but I did okay, I thought. And then I got off stage. And then right after that, like everyone just started getting up on stage and doing shit. Like, Bobby went up, Dave Arrigo went up, a bunch of people just went up, and Delo's just like, dude, I can't believe you're up there playing the bongos. And it was great. I had a really good time, and I like opened it up. I feel like everybody just loosened up the rest of the time. It was a really fun time. But so the bongos were in this musical room, and here we are getting our faces painted to be the chorus in the background of Mask of Hiroshima. And we were clearly the stars of the chorus.
Well, I was Akuma, is I think my name. I was the grandfather.
Oh, were you a character? I thought you were with me in the chorus.
I was the grandfather.
We were still getting our faces painted.
I hung out with the chorus.
He came down and
I was always cool.
Came down the pit with us.
Yeah.
So that was also the
he fraternized with the commoners.
So we were in Allentown. It was for a festival.
You got a great memory, dude.
Do you remember the mosh pit that we all got in trouble for? So Limp Bizkit had just come out, and in the cafeteria there was a dance with all the members of all the drama clubs.
Where the fuck did you go to school?
Because we filmed
this insane.
You did. You were talking about the dogs. It was the security dogs. You were asking the guy if he had security dogs.
So weird.
It was great because we watched the video afterwards of the stuff you guys are doing. Meanwhile, me and Mike DiTomaso and I forget who else. There was somebody else with us. Faith had just come out, Limp Bizkit, and they played the song. And Mike, I remember Mike looking at me, and he doesn't remember this. I actually talked to him about this the other day when I saw him for the first time in like 10 years. And I said, do you remember when we started that, like when we got in the mosh pit during that drama festival that we went to in the middle of the dance floor in the cafeteria, and Bobby and Double had to pull us out of the thing and yell at us because we checked kids into other kids?
Oh, boy.
Because we did a real mosh
pit. That was Parkland High School?
Yes. That was, but we were waiting for our performance, and each school does the performance, and then they get graded on their performance. I don't really know if there's a winner, but
yeah,
there was, we were probably, I would say we were first or second best. The Allentown kids, or the Hershey kids, it was the Hershey's kids, did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, I remember that, yep.
And it was really, really good.
So that was my first senior year, that's right. Now it's coming back, yep.
And then we did, so then we did all of that, and while we were in the back, we were just bullshitting, and we were just talking about just what we wanted to do when we got older. And I remember I said specifically, you were telling me you wanted to do a musical, you wanted to write a musical, you wanted to do all this stuff like in theater, and I was like, dude, you got it, like you're good.
That's cool, man.
And then I said, I was like, if I ever do anything, if I ever write anything,
film, you were always, yes. You know, that was like your big.
And spell. I said, if I ever do anything,
how have you not made this Bongo movie?
I know.
I'm still stuck on that.
I should start working with new word.
The bongo has no boy. Bongo boy.
The Bongolia.
I can hear it.
But I just want to play the bongos, Mom. Why can't you just understand that I want to play the bongos?
You're tearing me apart.
Can't you play the triangle like a good boy?
Yeah.
I got you a goddamn trumpet, and you don't do anything with the trumpet. You're always playing a goddamn bongo.
Just stare at your phone for the next 8 hours.
In the rain, just like, all I want to do is play the bongos. Ah!
You take this recorder, you learn hot cross buns.
But I said, I was like, if I ever do anything that has any kind of merit for any reason, I'm bringing you on. And he's like, I promise, you said this, I'm holding you, I held you to this. He's like, I promise you that if you ever get anything like that going, I will come on.
Well, that was actually a few years ago when I saw you most recently.
Yeah, but I held you to it.
Yeah.
But that was from when we were in high school that I had said that.
Oh, this is true. You kept it through and through.
And you and to your credit, I didn't even, I was like, when do you want to come on? And he's like, let me look at my schedule and I'll factor it in. And then like a week later, it was like, hey, I got a date. Is this a good date? And I'm like, you're booked, bro. Come on in. I can't wait.
Cool. You know, you flatter me on a level. Well, when I saw you though, at the one of the grocery chains,
the many that I worked at.
Yeah, because you know, talk is cheap, dude. You know, here we are, three men, however old you guys are. I'm 41.
Already about to be 41.
Yeah, and so like you know, I mean, talk is cheap, and so here we are, still trying to do something. You know, whether. You know, it's subjective, of course. We leave it to the people if they find merit to it. But when I saw you the most recent time, which again is only every 3 or 5 years, there's such a fucking sparse friendship.
It's funny too because like I said this, I was telling them this too. It's like I don't even have to know it's you to know it's you. Like I can just look over and be like, oh, that's fucking righteous, and I'll just walk over, and you're the same way. You're like, Jimmy, what's up? Like from across the across the produce section, yeah. I'm like. Oh shit, what are you doing here?
Yeah, you're like, got a thing coming up. And I'm like, anytime, bro. And then 3 years later, hey, I've got this thing coming. I'm like, you let me know. I'm ready, pal.
Never, not one time did he ever be like, yeah, sure. Like wasn't like, never was a dick.
No, because my dreams are intact and my dreams are alive. And I feel like people don't talk about that enough.
Yeah.
And maybe the dreams are too grand or too whatever, like we were chatting before we started. But it's like, what are we doing with our time? What do we want to do with our time? That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
You know, and talk is cheap. So you talk about it and you don't do it, you're not fucking doing it. But you're doing it and you did it and here you are. And I'm delighted to be, you know, on the
I'm glad you're part of it, dude.
Episode.
I'm glad we were able to bring this together.
Cool. Because
It was very
and this is our first time meeting, but I'm excited to have you on.
Yeah, Mike.
I've heard quite a bit about you from the beginning. Jimmy has said that he wants to bring you on.
I'm not from the beginning.
Yeah.
Not even to make you nervous or anything. I'm just like, I was like,
no pressure.
We were like, what guests do we want to have on? Are we going to try and get guests? And I was like, if we do, I got to bring my buddy Righteous on. I was like, I got to do it.
I'm here. Let's go. Let's do it. What now?
So jumping right into it then, you have an album coming out.
Yeah, I got an album coming out. I'm my first solo album. It's called What's in a Name. And I'm a confident vocalist, and I've been a singer for a long time, an actor first. And then I was in a band called Syrah. I was the lead vocalist, and they were like, we were a sort of a proggy hard rock band with twinges of metal. And then I started writing right before the pandemic. I wrote songs in dribs and drabs, but then the pandemic was like, okay, well, what am I going to do with my time? So I had like, you have nice equipment here. I was just looking down. That's a pig nose, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
A pig nose and an orange, because I have that same pig nose down there. But I was like, I had set up my humble stuff, and I wrote a lot. So I you know, when people discuss the pandemic, which is probably like, God, how many times do people bring the fucking pandemic up on your show? I try not to. It's just that when I hear people discuss, how hard it was for them, and I have deep empathy for that, and I understand, and it was challenging for me too. But I went into my, I sort of said to myself, all right, well, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I got to get something done, and I need to create. And so I created more than I ever did, because I think invariably, if I'm not going to, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger sort of vibes. And I wrote all these songs, and then I made a goal to have it out 2 years ago. It unfortunately got deleted. And then we re-recorded it. And so it's coming out Father's Day. And I'm stoked.
Dude, I saw it. I was like, oh, no shit. That's awesome.
So what happens? I record an album. I put it out. I become famous.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Right? And rich?
That's it. That's what follows fame. Fame comes first, and then it's rich.
Yeah.
Immediately
yeah.
after.
And that's, yeah, I think yeah. I'm really excited. Just let's see how that happens. I can't wait,
Now, are you self-releasing this, or is this coming out on a label?
Yeah, self-release. Self-releasing, although the dudes who helped me produce it, they have a little, I don't know. What is a label? Like, I'm not certain. They have a little label they call Ghost Imprint, and they're these cats from St. James and the Apostles. Great band from Philly, which, you guys, whomever's listening, should check them out. You guys in particular,
yeah.
They might come on. They might be kind of rad. If you start doing, bringing like live musical acts and stuff. I guess you do that remotely. You could. Have you done that already?
We haven't episodes? Yet.
We're working towards that.
That'll be fun.
We're working towards video. I think we said we're going to do video by the end of the summer, right?
Yeah.
And then working towards, we want to do live episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So by Christmas time, we want to have
that'll be rad. Live.
Yeah. Have some people come in and perform. We already talked to Andy Fury, a comedian guy.
Yeah.
He said he would come on and like host it. So we're going
to reach out to
him. Yeah. And he's going to probably host the episode.
Yeah. I don't have a lay of the land by way of space, but I suppose you could do it anywhere when you're
pretty much.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I'm really stoked. I have like five shows that are supporting the album. My record release show is at John and Peter's in New Hope on June 16th, which will be rad. And then we have, we're playing our first music fest. I believe it's an XPN sponsored event in Delaware called Shady Grove. And we're like supporting act opening up. That'll be cool. Just a half hour set. Boom. Pull out some rad psychedelic R&B. And then we're playing Bristol Riverside Theater, which is
cool.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty rad. That's in August 5th. So hopefully all those go well. And as I said, I will be on another level after that.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be able to get you on this show. So that's
two bags of smart food, my friend.
It's what I'm gonna say. Yeah, right. What better? We better craft service. At least two.
Listen to this. Where are you from, Mike?
Northeast Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is actually,
yeah, not too far from here. A really, really bad area, but not too far from here. Yeah.
So. I don't know what high school I drove by. Was that a big high school
Lincoln,
I drove by?
Lincoln, right?
You probably drove by Lincoln. Yeah. I didn't go there, but I went to a lot of schools. I made a tour of the schools when I was a kid.
And was that because of behavior or environmental?
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of it.
Have you explored this on your show?
No, not yet. Oh, I don't think so. Did we?
Yeah,
did we
talk about, you're dying your hair.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Red hair, that's not your natural red color. The priest all wanted to throw you out for it.
Oh, yeah. Catholic schools too?
Catholic schools mostly. Yeah. Yeah.
What year did you dye your hair red, I wonder?
I was in high school for that because they put out, so I didn't really dye my hair too often. It wasn't like a thing I was doing, but they were, Catholic school was really difficult when you had piercings and tattoos like I did as a kid. So it's hard to
pick long battles.
Yeah. It was hard to kind of like, so one of the big issues that we ran into with me, I had a large tattoo on my back, which you could see through the white Catholic school t-shirts or the white Catholic school button-up shirts. And that was, I guess, going to lead other kids into a life of sin and drugs and just straight to hell. Obviously. Yeah. So that was a big deal. Like, how do we get around that?
And
I was
first influence.
Yeah. That was like multiple meetings in the office and
about
stuff.
Tattoo?
Yeah. How are we going to like cover this up? Because you weren't allowed to wear undershirts. The priests were really into. I know. You would think so. We settled on, I'll wear t-shirts to school that are religious themed, but they made the mistake of letting me make them. So it was like a crafting weekend. Wow. So my first shirt, I was Jesus Touched Me. Wore that into school.
But double entendre still right. works.
Right. Positively exactly. As well. And the couple of teachers who called out, I was like, what are you talking about?
I have a personal relationship with this t-shirt.
I was like, this is a Catholic school. I come from a Christian family. Like, what are you implying?
That's disgusting.
Yeah. You have a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You're a real stick it to him sort of guy. Well, you're obviously intelligent. I know we just met, but like, that's kind of rad that that's an elevated way of trolling.
Well, the hair thing was, my dad is a very conservative Christian.
Uh-huh.
So they sent home a letter saying that because they were having an issue with the females in the school dyeing their hair. So they said nobody could dye their hair. When you come back after summer break, it has to be your natural hair color.
Which is pretty much the worst thing you can tell Mike about.
Anyway, right. So I was immediately, I'm like, well, I'm dyeing my hair now.
Yeah.
So I dyed my hair red, including my eyebrows.
Like bright red.
Bright red. Like unnatural red. Right. Like there's no way that's my natural hair color red. So came into school with that. They're like, hey, we said you can't dye your hair. I'm like, this is my natural hair color.
Oh,
yeah, and they're like, that's no one's natural hair color.
The first day of school, like,
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so they called my dad, and for one of the very few times, he was like, "I mean, you can't prove that's not his natural hair color."
Interesting.
That was the one time that he was like,
"I had trauma this summer. My hair turned color." Like, you know what I mean?
He was like, "That's what I told him." I was like, "I grew out the brown color." And let my natural fire engine red.
Right.
Yeah. Come out. It's in my blood. So that didn't go well. So I promised them I would dye it back to the fake color if they would write me a note saying it was okay for me to do it. So things like that. Yeah, it was a lot of fighting over.
Yeah, that's wild times. I was only, that was deep. Because I dyed my hair in my second 12th grade year red, but it wasn't nearly as with all of the baggage you just
threw on the table. You were trying to insist that that was your natural hair color.
No, it was not the vibe, though. I don't know. I didn't go to Catholic school. Did you ever go to Catholic school prior to? No.
I was all public. Mm. I tried to, the year after I graduated, I went and I got. I dyed my hair blonde because what I wanted to do was I used to wear a Penn State hat all the time. I wasn't even a Penn State fan, but I just liked the hat. So I wanted to dye my hair silver, but like real silver, not like gray man silver. Yeah. I wanted real silver, and my hair didn't get light enough because it's dark, but it got more curly. So I looked like a weird member of Crazy Town. And then I like got mad that my hair just wouldn't do what it needed to do. I literally looked like Johnny.
Yeah.
And I ended up going to prom that year with a girl I worked with at Kmart in Pepperdine, who is a half black Jehovah's Witness.
Mm.
It was great. Had a good time. But I looked at my hair and I'm like, I hate this. It was the first time I ever shaved my head and did a mohawk. And I got a Legion of Doom mohawk. And I wore a mohawk for a while. A really tight mohawk, not like a stick up one. Like a tight one. The who was the guy in Street Fighter that had the mohawk? Sagat. Ryan? One of them guys. One of them guys had a mohawk.
Street Fighter.
It was real tight. It was real tight mohawk.
Yeah.
But I had that for a while, and then I just shaved my head completely, and then it started to go away on its own. So now I don't even have to shave it. It just doesn't come back.
Your hair?
It got tired of me.
It's gone forever?
Got tired of me fucking with it. So it was like, I'm done. I'm going away.
Yeah.
We're done with you, Jim.
Oh, hair's a good thing.
I have you still got hair. Yours, man. Good for you. You guys, good. I'm happy for you. You can hear it. It's like herbal essence.
Yeah.
So we were, before you came in, we were watching some old episodes of Gemini Rising.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. What was that like doing that?
That was rad. You know, that's another connection from our high school, of course. Gina Andreoli was the creator of it. Chris Marston was a cinematographer. They're both connected. That was great. I was younger. I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it through and through. I'm older now. I'm sure that it's going to be one of those things when I look back and watch it when I'm older that, you know, it's so hard not to take things for granted when you exist in them, especially when you're younger, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was rad though. I mean, I love the music in it. She still wants to make something happen in the 80s, actually, that the characters come together in the 80s. So that's a web series called Gemini Rising. I think it's still online, GeminiRising.tv. Yeah, and YouTube and stuff. And it almost had a little acclaim. It was up for
a Webby Awards. Did you guys win?
I don't know if it won or it was like an honoree or however that works, but it was early on in the pretty early on in the way, you know, the web-based TV and content has sort of just blown up. But I know that we lost, if we didn't win, Gina would know, we lost to a MTV-produced David Bowie project. So, like, that's kind of
rad. That's kind of cool.
You know, like, you know what I mean? We were second. That's kind of cool.
I was watching Moon Age Daydream last night before bed because it just came out.
Yeah.
We released it in digital.
I never saw it.
It's great. It's his, like, where he stopped doing music and he just went to go find himself and just do all kinds of different things besides music for like 4 years.
That's cool. What year? What era did it take place in?
I want to say like Aladdin Sane.
Cool.
I think that's when he did it.
Yeah, he's so cool, isn't he?
Like, as a dude, like, I'm sad that I didn't appreciate him as much as I should have when he was alive, because, like, now that I go back and listen to his music, not only is his music fantastic, but it's like, he's just such a cool dude.
He's so cool. I always knew him peripherally, but I grew up on soul music, you know, and we're a big musical family, my mom's records and stuff. So David Bowie wasn't part of the canon of our, wasn't part of the jolly household, right? But we knew him peripherally. And then in middle school, which is a rough era, you know, when you're like, you know, puberty, or you're not in God forbid you don't have puberty yet, and everybody lets you know, it feels like, for 2 years. And one kid, this is my David Bowie connection, one kid from the old neighborhood, right, in Levittown, we were always, you know, it was like a ninth grade. He was like, he wasn't a jerk, but he had to be a jerk because everyone else was a jerk. You know, it was like a dog-eat-dog world, you know? And that's when you sort of come of age and figure out who you want to hang out with. Kids start slipping into drugs and lose themselves, unfortunately. Maybe various chemical imbalances rear their ugly heads, etc. So it was ninth grade, and he was like, we weren't very close. And he was like, he scared me. And he was rude, and I didn't like rude people, but I also was afraid to say no still a lot of times because I wanted to fit in. And one night he was like, you want to come over? And I was like, yeah, okay, we'll come over. And we were hanging out in his room, you know, very cool middle school vibes. And then like a giant secret he lays on me. He's like, hey, check this out. This is David Bowie. And nobody knows I listened to him. But he's like the coolest guy. And I was like, oh, that's really rad. He's like, yeah, I can't tell anyone I listen to him. I'm like, why? He's like, because, you know, sometimes he dresses up like a girl and stuff. I'm like, oh, fuck, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit? When I just remember, so that's Lou. I appreciate Lou giving me my sort of first David Bowie experience. Lou's mom lost her fingers in a lawnmower.
Ooh. Riding one or a regular one?
I think a regular one. And then, like, the mean motherfuckers from Levittown, like, Lou never could never win a battle again of busting because it always devolved to his mom's fucking fingers in the lawnmower, the poor thing.
You had it. Your parents had any kind of fucking... My dad was fat for a long time, and I used to get ragged on about that all the time.
Oh,
luckily, as you know, because you know my dad, that didn't last very long. Well, he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But even just his personality, like, he doesn't put up with that shit. And what he used to do is when my friends would be like, you know, Jimmy's dad is, you know, your dad is, they would be like, my dad's fat. And I was like, I would always have, my dad could play guitar better than your dad ever even thought he could, because he can.
Yeah.
He legitimately.
That's cool.
He's like incredible. Like, yeah, I remember very much in the same vein, a bunch of my friends were like, your dad, you know, he's just a big dude. Like, he can't. I'm like, guys, my dad kicks ass at guitar. And I remember it was Bill Wagner and Marcus was there, Marcus Miller. And I want to say Chris Frisco was there, but I don't know. There was another person there with me, but they were, my dad had been, he took my Green Day CD, he took Dookie. And, you know, at the time that was like the rebellious kids CD that you listened to, right? And he had headphones on and he was sitting, I'll never forget this. He had a fucking cut off Waste Management fucking orange shirt because he worked at Waste Management, and he had a pair of sweatpants on and he had his headphones on and he was sitting there figuring out Green Day just by listening to it. My dad's 75% deaf in one ear.
Mm.
And he was drop D tuning by hearing it and then just playing. And then my friends are like, what's he doing? And I'm like, he's figuring out Dookie. And they're like, he's just figuring it out. Like, he doesn't need the notes. I'm like, yeah, he'll have it figured out probably by the end of the night. By the end of the night, he's like, hey, check this out. And he starts playing Welcome to Paradise. And I'm like, he can just do that? I said, he does it with all my fucking records.
That's awesome.
But then speaking to David Bowie, he gave me my David Bowie stuff.
Yeah.
The records that he had of Bowie. And I'm like, he gave me his whole record collection. So I had the first four Zeppelin records, original print, first two Van Halens, almost all of Queen. And I ended up getting the rest of the records myself. He had all of it, but he would just like, we'd be driving and he'd be telling me these crazy stories about like bands. And like my sisters, especially, they never believe him because they think he's just full of shit because he has a lot of stories.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's easy to believe that. But then he would tell me, like, I remember one time I went to see Aerosmith and they set the first row of chairs in the Spectrum on fire. And that's an actual legitimate thing that happened. You can actually look it up online. It's like, Aerosmith was banned from the Spectrum for a period of time because they encouraged the fans to set the first row of chairs on fire. Oh, I was like, I was like, okay. And then I looked it up and I'm like, holy shit, my dad told me
old ass asbestos chairs.
Yeah.
Fucking 30,000 people got mesothelioma on that concert.
Triangle fucking dress company. People were jumping out the windows to laugh child while everything's fucking set on fire.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, and he just always had those stories. But David Bowie was the Queen, David Bowie, Elvis Costello, he got me into a lot. A lot of those off-the-cuff guys, because he appreciated them as musicians. He didn't really give a shit, like, what people thought of them.
Yeah.
Tom Petty, which everybody kind of likes Tom Petty, but I mean, there was a time Petty was, like, was off to the side. Mm-hmm. He gets more eclectic as he gets older, and he introduces me to these bands, and I'm like, what are you talking about? But we had Metallica on, and Metallica is the mashup Metallica Beatles.
Yeah.
And that guy was cool as shit, but my dad... he got me into them because he's like, you got to hear this. Like, you'll love this because I don't really like the Beatles. They're okay. They're okay. I like the Stones better. But, but I love Metallica. And he played it. And I was like, that's fucking so weird. I was like, where did you find that?
Are they mashups?
Yeah.
They're mashups, right?
They do like, it'll be like the Beatles song. So like their biggest hit so far is All You Need Is Blood.
Yeah.
And it's like, he sings it like Hetfield, but they
play the melody of All You Need Is Love.
Right. And it's some of the same lyrics. Yeah,
interesting.
It's really good.
That's like, cool. It's a great. I mean, I'm with that, dude.
It's cool. It's very off the cuff. But Bowie. But dude, Levittown was a lot rougher than people think it was. Trying to navigate that. You show a flaw. And I remember I used to wear, when I first moved to the area, I used to wear Zubaz pants because they were comfortable as shit.
Sure.
And where I was from, which was
like, those are the Zebra Johns, right? Yep.
The Legion of Doom, they own the rights to that. We went to, when I first moved back here, because my parents grew up here in Levittown. When we first moved back, I wore Zubaz to school, and I remember I used to get picked on for it. I wore sweatshirts with like Super Mario on it, and like that wasn't cool. It was like right around middle school where it was like you had to start wearing like Old Navy and like designer shit, and I just never liked wearing that shit. So I would get like the generic Walmart Old Navy stuff until I actually started buying Old Navy, and it's like I hated it, but it was like I just wore whatever the fuck I wanted.
Isn't that blow? That's such a weird, because now I have kids too, and thinking about that shit for them as they grow up.
Yeah, it's like I remember when we had to fight those battles, and now I look at kids and they just wear sweatpants and shit to school.
I'm old man and I hate that. I'm no disrespect to your Zubies or whatever. I prefer the Zubies. At least you're like making a fucking statement. Like that's all I want, you know. So on one hand, I'm like, I don't know. I hope my kid, but no kids are like jeans numbers must be down, like dungarees and denim at large. They gotta be, dude. That's crazy.
We transitioned into like jeans and JNCOs.
Yeah, I know that you swam. I feel like I remember you swimming in those because you liked that particular aspect of counterculture. As I recollect our experience together in high school, I was a thrift shopper early on, like a real early thrift shopper, and so I always had that vibe. Which also you
have your own style. And,
you know, it's funny, a jerk off from middle and high school, and I you can cut me off or if this isn't too much. You know, I had my fair share of relatively bully, some bully shit. Like, I don't feel like a terrible a victim of it. I could have been a lot worse. And I picked my battles. And I'm sure I was a jerk off to some kids, too. And I'd be happy to hear them. So call in now if you ever have a bone to pick. But one dude that we went to high school with, a prominent fella, I hired him for an event. And, you know, we're men now. It's like, yeah, I'm not carrying a fucking grudge in that regard. At least I don't think so. And he pulled me aside and he was like, hey man, I just want to say, like, even from like the way I see you now, Righteous, to the way you were back, he's like, I know you got a lot of shit for the way you dressed and your style, but even he said, but he says, it's dawned on me as someone who cares about the way he looks and the style that I wear now that you were really ahead of your time. And, you know, so I'm like, that's cool. Like, thank you, man. Like, that's very cool. And I receive your love and I forgive you. And that was kind of rad that he said that. I appreciate that. And that's all my sister. That's because my sister was my hero. She was older and had a different sensibility. But you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And when you have show up in Zubies or plaid pants, you know, not Zubies.
No,
I'm like an old man saying it wrong.
I remember who it was, too. I'm going to say your name because I'm
going to out him. Oh, go ahead.
I remember this because it very much embarrassed me.
Yes. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So, this is a way too much information for everybody here and everybody listening. But at one point, I had a deflated nut because I swung around a pole on a swing set and I landed nut first.
Your testicle?
Yeah, dude. It popped.
Oh!
It was one of the most excruciating things I've ever dealt with in my life.
I'm sorry to hear that.
May have discussed this on air on a different episode, but if I didn't, so the first thing that happened was
Bongo Boy Chili.
Right. Now I can't play the trumpet. I don't have the nut for it. I gotta play the bongos.
Mom, you know, to learn hot cross buns, you need two working testicles.
I got one.
Honey, come in here. We hired John Kruk. No, sorry. Anyway, I'm sorry. Keep going. Where are you? Sorry.
But
all right. So that sucks. That's terrible.
But I had to wear loose fitting pants.
Right.
So in middle school, I remember I was wearing loose fitting pants, and it was. But what do you wear with loose fitting pants? Like, there's no real good colored right. loose fitting pants that you can like match a shirt with. So I just wore like a shitty t-shirt,
and that's okay, right?
Yeah, it's okay. But I was trying to like be cool looking, so I had my jacket like slung over my shoulder. But it was like an Eagles, like it wasn't even Starter, it was Pro-Line. Remember the generic dime store? So I had my jacket slung over my shoulder, and Lisa Cochran came up, and she was a bitch all the time.
Fuck you, Lisa Cochran.
You want to apologize or what?
You and Leto, which
get on this show, Lisa Cochran.
So she walked up to me and she's like, hey, and she made it seem like she was just saying hi. And I'm like, hey, Lisa, how you doing? Because I knew other people that knew her. Sherry Calcagni was my cross street neighbor, super good friend of mine. And she fucking ball tapped me.
Oh!
So not only did it hurt, but then everyone is laughing.
Wait, why?
Because
it's just a world. It's a vile world.
It was just vile. And it was
like, you wearing those pants, it's a clean
shot. Wait, did she know about the deflated nut?
She knew something was wrong.
Because I was walking. Energy. It's like a predator. Gingerly,
but it was like, and there was, and this is the thing, like none of my friends, and I don't blame them for this because at the time, it's tough to defend yourself for this. And like going back, I probably would have done what they did. Let's be honest. Like, I wouldn't have jumped up and been like, hey, whatever. Dude, it is not. He has a deflated. Like, I
would have played a bongo.
Whoa.
It's his dream.
So, what'd they do? Just nothing.
Nothing. They just stood there and they're like, are you okay?
And were you like, Like, were you it, like doubled over?
I was in tears.
What and grade was that?
Probably like eighth grade.
Bummer. That's when they called me Booby Boy. Eighth grade. Two bitches in the hallway.
I'm still stuck on this girl randomly ball tapped you in the hallway.
Oh, she was. Dude, she
oh
was,
my god.
She was like as close as you can be to being butch to not being butch. She was like a hard chick. Like she's like Jennifer. She's what Jennifer Lopez wants to be in real life. But then you go back and you're like, Jennifer Lopez has had an easy life in Hollywood. Her Hollywood.
Persona. Her Hollywood life. Yeah, but I
like,
don't know.
But like,
yeah, really, you got to bring her on and discuss her. let's
J-Lo, would you just randomly ball tap some guy?
Shoot for the stars, my friend. I was talking about what's her name.
Oh, Nate Cedar. Oh, okay. But she was, yeah, she was, there was just, because I was, but I mean, in that era, I was very not confident with myself. So I was like very, because I had moved like 3 or 4 times. So I was never really able to get comfortable where I was. I never had like a base of friends from like,
I'm sorry that kids. That happened.
I mean,
I know we all got something.
That year, senior year, when I did the play instead of doing wrestling, that was the first year or 11th grade, whatever year I made that decision to not do wrestling and do theater. That was when I first made the decision for myself. And I was like, this is what I want to do.
Cool.
And that was, then we did the Mask of Hiroshima, and it was like, you know,
and it opened you up on a level. Yeah, that's something that you always had in you.
And then I had confidence, like crazy confidence. And it just made me feel so good. And I'm like, fuck this. I don't care what any of these people do. Yeah. Like, fuck them. Oh, okay. I wear fucking Zubaz. Yeah, I like Zubaz. Fuck you.
It is a bummer.
It just sucks.
What
it
happened
sucks
to your ball, though? Is,
oh, like, no, it's good. Asking? It's just all you have. They give you a ball sling, right? So it's like, it's like an arm sling, but it holds your nut, so you don't like accidentally like overexert yourself. You just have to take it really easy.
Interesting.
My dad thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world, and legitimately like laughed every time I had to go to the doctor because he knew how uncomfortable I felt. Not mean uncomfortable, but like he's my dad, so he'd be like, "All right, have fun in there." And I'm like, "Fuck you!
Yeah.
I hate you for this." And he goes, "I'm not the one that did the stupid thing and deflated your nut. You didn't have to swing around that pole." And I'm like. And he goes, and then I came out and I was just like, you could see the uncomfortability on my face, but they have to like fondle it, like to make sure that everything is healing. Okay. And like, check it, dude. It's so,
it's like a, you know, I don't, I'm a dummy. Like I don't know anatomy well enough, but like, I know my butter beans. Like I know that feels like a giant lima bean in there. That's what I always felt. Yeah, you know? Whenever I touch it, it's a like, gigantic. It's actually one of those, what do you call it, gigante beans? It's that the Italian. It's that big ass bean from Italy. So that's where it got mushed, basically.
Yeah. Oh. Like it popped. Like
a Louise.
Yeah. It was. Dude. It was rough.
Dude, I was in a play, and this young actor, first professional play I was in, and on the last closing night. They were like, everybody gather around. Evan can't do the play. And they're like, why? He's just not here. He can't do it. We have someone to come in and just going to read the script. I'm like, okay, well, you do what you got to do. And then I come to find out that the poor lad, I was in my early 20s. He was like, must have been 10 or 12, young actor. And his testy or one of the testicles wrapped around something. And it just, I don't know what, like sounds uncomfortable. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what that's called. Cool.
It's called a torsion.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
What happened?
So I had what's called an intermittent torsion. So what it's, what it sounds like happened to him is from an injury, which is the most, it's actually fairly common. But when you what's less common is an intermittent torsion. So basically the cord that connects to your testicles for blood flow gets tangled up. And I don't know. So mine was the intermittent one. So it wasn't the actual testicle moving around. It was the cord that regulates blood flow. They would get tangled. So blood flow cuts off to your lower body. So not only is it extremely painful, but it can like make it difficult to walk and move and do different things. Yeah. And the problem with it that I had was getting the corrective surgery for it took a long time, because if you're injured, they just do the surgery immediately to get you taken care of. But if it's an intermittent one, the insurance companies they're just like, well, do you really need that? And they're like, just walk it off. It'll be fine.
Have some ginger ale.
Gotcha. So I had that for a few years, probably
sucks, dude.
Before I got the surgery for it.
Chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
Crumble up some snack.
But it's funny. So, and I think I did share this on the show. When I first went to a doc, our PCP, because I was still under my parents' insurance, my PCP was like, oh, that just happens sometimes. You're fine. And I'm like, that's not, no. No, it doesn't. Yeah. They're like, yeah, sometimes you just get real bad pain there and then it just goes away and you're fine. I was like, no, I don't think so.
What's PCP?
The primary care physician. So I was like, I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's not. So eventually I went back 3 or 4 times and finally he gave me to a specialist. And as soon as I came in, the specialist is like, listen, this is what's happening. He's like, it's very common. Usually it's caused by an injury, though. He said, they're very common by injury. He said, the version of it that sounds like it's happening to you is less common. He's like, it could be caused by anything. He's like, we really don't know. And he's like, but, you know, we have to. He's like, the problem is because it wasn't caused by an injury, we have to test you for any possible thing it could be before we can even recommend the surgery. They're like, because a lot of things could cause pain, cancer, or different, whatever. So they're like, we have to test you.
Make me afraid of everything.
They're like, so we have to do. And it was literally like months of tests.
Great.
Of going in like every week for different tests.
Never thought I had this, but now I might.
So the first time, I guess I have it. So you were saying about your dad. So my dad, conservative Christian guy. So we're in there and I was 20, 21, something like that. But I was in college, so I was still under his insurance. They didn't kick you off until 22 or something like that, I guess. So I was just still under the rope for his insurance. So he took me and I was like, oh, you should come in with me. He's like, I don't think so. I was like, no, it'll be fine. So he came in with me, we're there and they're explaining everything. And I was like, all right. And I'm panicking inside, but on the outside, I'm trying to
be cool.
And he's like, so one of the things we have to test you for is prostate cancer. He's like, that's extremely unlikely given your age. He's like, but it's one of the many things we have to test before the insurance will approve the thing. And I was like, okay, now I know what prostate cancer is, but because I'm panicked at all this cancer talk, it's not clicking in that moment
what they'll have to do.
Right. Normally I knew exactly what that is, but in this moment I don't. So he's like, we could test that now. And I was like, all right. So my dad's like, all right, I guess I'll step out. I'm like, why? And he's like, and my dad's like,
father's love.
He's like, do you know what prostate cancer is? I was like, yeah, they're just going to like test me for it. He goes, how do you think that's And I was like, oh,
answer a bunch of multiple choice
questions. Okay. So he left. And I do have to say that doctor was way too into it.
Yeah.
He said it was just a finger. I feel like it took 15 minutes, which doesn't sound right.
He's like, we want the funk.
And I know what 2 or 3 fingers feels like. I know that he was really going for it. And I,
like, we're testing for ovarian cancer.
He was wearing me like a hand puppet. And I was Kermit the Frog on his lap.
Father, I'll have you know I wasn't molested in school.
Yeah. I was like, I know I went to Catholic school, but it's actually pristine back there. Be careful.
Just covered in.
Corey, I only have 3 fingers in.
What's funny though, so first I screamed extremely loudly, thinking that would break the ice. I have this way of making people uncomfortable, thinking that's going to break the ice with them and make them more comfortable.
What, your yell?
No, just in general. Oh, so yeah. So in that moment, I was just like, if I scream, it'll be funny and we'll both be a lot more comfortable about this.
No,
not at all. No. Yeah. As soon as he starts going in, I scream really loud and I hear people like panicking outside. Nurses are running in.
Screaming, cars are crashing.
Finally, like, we calm everybody down, they leave, and the doctor's like, why did you do that? And I was like, oh, I just thought it'd be funny. He's like, it's not. It's not funny. Yeah. Like, it is not funny that you did. I was like, oh, okay. We're gonna be all serious about cancer all of a sudden.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But when I left, my dad, of course, when I came out, looked ashamed because he knew that was me screaming, of course. So,
yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you
serious? Yeah. He looked ashamed. Well, from me screaming, like, not from the, yeah, from the scream. So we get out to the car and he was going to drop me off at work. So I was going right from this exam to work. He doesn't say anything the whole car ride. And then we get outside my office and he's like, hey, I just want you to know, I know you're going through a lot right now, but what happened in there means you're gay now and I don't love you anymore.
No,
he did. Yeah. He did. It is. Yeah. So that was good. I got to give him credit. That was a good one. Yeah.
It's like he held off.
I did appreciate it.
It's an interesting joke to make too. And
yeah.
Holy smokes.
Well done. My dad, his timing's okay. Sometimes he just says shit and just like, usually that's what I do with my dad makes jokes. But for the most part, yeah. But yeah, it was
but going time. Through all the tests, I'm weirdly comfortable now with just whipping my dick out and letting me like to the degree I have to remind myself that if I'm going for like a flu shot, I don't need to take my like all right, here we go.
Dennis.
Yeah. They're like, sir, this is a Walgreens and you just came in.
You're here for your flu shot.
Yeah.
You got a screamer here. Yeah, just an eye test.
Yeah.
Just a vision test.
Well, Regis, it's that time to bring up the question that we discussed off camera a little bit. And
sure.
So you know now about my mortal enemy, JL, Jared Leto.
He'll rue the day.
We reached out to him to come on the show. He has not responded. I've sent him links to the show so he can see what he's in head. I don't want to sideswipe him. I want him to know what's going on. He hasn't come on. So how do you feel about Mr. Leto?
Let me just level with it just in case. Do you mind, guys?
No.
Hey, Jared. What do you think? You're better than us? You got more money than us? Hanging out with pretty people, doing fun things. Listen, you son of a bitch. Band sucks. And the best thing we ever had? Fucking eyeballs. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see if that works. But
I hope so.
I think he, you know, I've always found him favorable on a level. I mean, he's certainly easy on the eyes. I have a relative nostalgia for him in My So-Called Life, right? Yeah. That was him, right?
A lot of people got
that. I've never seen that show.
I've seen a couple of episodes. I was not a fan of Claire Danes. She's not my type of female.
I so liked her, really though, too. She looked like my neighbor across the street, which, you know, like...
I was a Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
I need big up here.
Uh-huh.
Top side.
Yeah,
I like going top side.
I was Claire a Tom Danes, Cruise guy, side. But...
You're what?
I was more of a Tom Cruise guy.
Yeah. Top Gun volleyball.
Jared Leto, he's a, you know, like, I don't know. You reached out to him and his PR and you've heard nothing. He's ghosting you?
Well, he might be ghosting me. He might be afraid of me. I mean, we almost fist fought.
How so?
So I won't get into the deep details because we did a full episode about it. But
okay.
Back when he was in 30 Seconds to Mars, they were opening for Seven Dust. Matt Mazzarini was with me. He apparently, this part I don't remember. Matt Maz remembers this part. We were in the crowd and he was coming through the crowd with security and he like shoved me out of the way. And I didn't know who he was because I didn't know My So-Called Life. I wasn't really into like his type of movies, like Requiem for a Dream, all that. I'd never seen it yet.
Yeah.
So I turned around and I was like, you can say, excuse me, asshole. And he was like, what did you say to me? I said, you just elbowed me in the back, dude. Like, you jacked me. Like, you can say, excuse me. I was just fucking standing here with my friends. And he said, yeah? So he, like, picked the fight. And Matt's like, dude, we're going to get thrown out before we even see Seven. I was like, calm down. And I was like, no, this motherfucker just walks through and just hits people. He goes, dude, it's Jared Leto. I said, what the fuck who he is? So then I'm like, who's Jared Leto? And they're like, and then they explained to me who he was. And I was like, oh, well, fuck him. And they're like, he's the lead singer 30 Seconds to Mars. I'm like, you're doing walking through the crowd. Go backstage. Like,
wow.
So anyway, so then he gets out on stage, and they were like the second opener. I don't remember what the first band was. They were okay. They weren't like amazing. They come on, they're 30 Seconds to Mars. And I'm not a fan of 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
I don't dig their music. But everyone is not digging their music. They're just not getting, their vibe is not there. Like, nobody was there. And I start booing because at this time, I was, you know, I'm probably 23 or 24. I was very rash. I was bongoed out, and I just went up there and out bongoed him. Wouldn't that be great if I like
chat? Oh my god, a bongo battle between you and Jared Leto?
I'm totally gonna bongo battle. So
you start like, booing.
But me booing. So it was like I was like, yo, you fucking suck, get off the stage. You should have been swallowed. You're the best parts of you ran down your dad's leg. And I just said dumb shit, you know, whatever was very offensive. And he's like, you know, for you haters out there, I'm just trying to do something different because everyone is booing at this point. Was I an instigator of maybe everyone booing?
Wow.
I certainly was adding to it. I don't know if everyone took my lead, but like there's a lot of people booing.
Yeah.
And he goes, whatever. So mid set, they stopped. They just stopped and went off stage.
What venue?
TLA.
Wow.
And they were like, and I was like, ah, fuck you. Thank God.
Oh, TLA, intimate. The whole time I'm picturing like you at the fucking Wells Fargo Center starting this.
I'm up in the upper deck.
And it worked. You know what I mean? No, but
pushing your way through the pit. Hey, motherfucker.
That's about how crazy I was for
He was feeling it.
And he was like, and I said, fuck you. Get off the stage, fucking dick. I used other words that aren't appropriate. Sure. That's why I'm editing myself so I don't get canceled. But but I was like, but he's like, yeah, and he like throws his guitar down, and I'm like, oh, I was like, come on, bring it on,
my second time,
bring it on, my so-called life, and then fucking people are like, and then the security guards are like getting involved, and Maz is like, dude, we still haven't seen Seven Dust. Stop! I'm trying to fight him.
That's his goal.
Yeah, we're doing so. We didn't fist fight. He didn't come down, but then later on in the show, Seven Dust is up on stage, and they're like, oh, we had. Did you like whatever the name of the first band was? I'm like, yeah, because they weren't that bad. They weren't great, but they weren't bad. And then they're like, did you like 30 Seconds Mars? And all these fucking posers in the crowd are like, yeah. And I was like, they fucking blow. And I was right, same spot. And the guitarist from Seven Dust looks down at me and goes,
yeah.
Because apparently, do you remember John Sida from high school?
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently he went to a different show. And there was the same response to 30 Seconds Mars. He actually called me and told me this after.
A failure of the bill. Because
they're two different vibes.
That's what I mean. I feel you, and I'm on you. I'm team Jamie.
I agree. You got my
head. I'm just like, man, I'm like, God, they're like Seven Dust to them. I can't.
And Seven Dust was amazing live. But it was like, it was funny because we ended up Keith Slavin and a bunch of people were there too. We ended up meeting up with them, and they were like, dude, you almost fought Jared Leto. And I'm like,
that's rad. Tom Britton was probably there then.
Yeah. And he was, because Matt. And we just all connected, but it was like Matt Lemp was there. I'm trying to think of who's in my crew. It wasn't a lot of people from Truman, but like we were all there at the same time and like hanging out. And I think Drew was Drew Petsky.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, like I was like, I put a hooju on him forever since then. And almost every movie that he's made since that time has either been a bomb or he dies in the movie, like violently. So like Fight Club was after that, and he got the shit kicked out of him to where you can't see his face.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of War, he gets hooked on drugs and dies. Requiem for a Dream, he gets his arm cut off or whatever. It really hasn't gone well for him in movies. Then he had Morbius.
He's doing all right, the son of a bitch.
I mean, he's still getting made movies. Just signed him for the new Tron movie. And I'm like, are you going to ruin this series by bringing this son of a bitch in? And that's what I said. I was like, we need to do Friends Against Leto. There's a plague, and it's not just COVID, it's attacking everyone, and we need to stop it at its source. So we need to stop Leto, or he needs to come on here and apologize to me for what he did. And if he apologizes, or takes me up on a challenge of Bongolia, that's fine. Either or. And if he wins fair and square, I will concede, and I will be like, you know what, Jared, I respect you for manning up and coming in here, but I don't think he's going to do it. So,
he's my moral interesting. Enemy. Yeah, he. I think keep going. Keep maybe this should become a little TikTok shorts to battle him.
I will rap battle Jared Leto. I'm not even good at rap.
That's where the playing field is level.
Yeah, dude. I'll bring Boss on with me.
Well, right.
Mike Boss will come on. He'll help.
Oh, he'd be great.
Script it.
That's great. I had a mind. There was a why. You know, I'm jealous of success, and so. When that band Fun, right? Something about that guy Nate Ruess, I think, is the lead singer of the band Fun.
Really?
And I saw him on SNL, and I had like a visceral reaction. And I made him a person I'd like to have fisticuffs with. And just, you know, he has nothing to gain, of course, But it would be great if he would have, you know, likewise for Jared Leto, if he wants to challenge, if he wants to accept the challenge.
Dude, double tag team, dude. Me and you versus them two. I'm in.
Yeah.
This sounds good to me. We'll challenge them or whatever. Fiddlywinks, Super Mario Brothers 1, I don't care. Yeah. Whatever they want to fight. You want to play fucking Bago? We got it.
Interesting.
Frisbee golf? We'll fuck you up.
Yeah, Tyler golf. Park.
We got courses down here.
Yeah.
You don't have shit like that in Hollywood. There's no Frisbee golf course in Hollywood. Hacky Sack? We're aces.
Oh, yeah. Let's go Hacky Sack. Nate Roos and Jared Leto.
Yeah, you guys want a Hacky Sack? Come on down.
Want to hack? I got a sack.
I even want a deflated sack. I'll take him out.
Fuck yeah. Poor J-Max got the Hacky Sack beads in one of his legs.
Yeah, right. It's fucking some hippie doctor fucking sewed up a Hacky Sack to make a replacement.
Smells like patchouli.
Like a fucking Hacky Sack cyborg.
It's great because you never get the weird ball smell and it just smells like patchouli all the
right,
time.
Right, that's right.
And guess what, Jared Leto, you smell like patchouli.
Yeah.
So you have something in common.
Blonde, blue-eyed son of a bitch. Fucking Morbius. Get out of here, Morbius. What's the other movie? It was just another movie, too. It's terrible. Ugh.
Yeah, people are... Well, I just think all he could have said was part of me.
That's it. Listen, and that's what I say. That's the funny thing.
This is how wars like, start, Jared.
Yeah. Right. It's like, all you had to say was, like, all right, well, I'm sorry, man. You know what?
Whoops. Or, hey, okay. Or, you know, just even a turn. And just a turn and a look.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. That's all I still want. And he just won't do it. He's too busy with his cult or whatever the fuck he's working on. Whatever shit movie he's working on to ruin a franchise. Because if he's in the new Tron, if he doesn't die in the first 20 minutes, I'm not even going to bother with the rest of it.
You guys are passionate about this. You talk about this a lot on,
every guest.
Movie culture stuff, like pop culture, movie culture stuff. Is it like a prominent feature to this?
I think so.
Cool.
We do movie songs, TV shows. Like I said, we did the episode where we decided what was good, what would be a great musicals. That was...
Oh yeah,
that was a fun one. I'm
trying to think what because I agree with you that wrestling would be rich.
WrestleMania would be a great one.
I often make it as a joke during some of my trivia gigs. I always say, like, you know, when I bring up movies, that should be.
Well, they're doing Hemsworth as Hogan in a biopic coming out.
That'll be cool.
He looks just like Hogan.
I'm sure. Is he going to get into the weird bits, the weird business?
I don't know how far it goes. With, I think it's just
tapes and stuff or something.
I think it's just the 80s. Like, I think it's his rise to prominence. And then if it does good, they'll probably do the rest.
So we're not going to get the true pinnacle of his career, Thunder in Paradise.
No. Thunder in Paradise is great. You ever see the episode?
Where, what?
Oh, there's an episode with Macho and Hogan.
No, I did not see that.
I'm like, dude, he called him Hogan.
It's not even... Macho Man is just saying whatever the fuck he wants. That's amazing.
You know, I just finished reminding because he said the wrong word. I just saw that, I guess it was popular however many years ago, it was Kevin Sorbo yelling in his direction. Did you ever see that meme or the gif of meme? Or it's a gif of him. No, it's a live video of him as, what was it, Hercules, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Sorbo's Hercules. And he does his lines and then he says, because he was supposed to say the lines disappointed. So he says the lines and then he yells disappointed because he thinks it's the fucking part of the script. It's hilarious knowing that.
He's doing, what was the name of the series that he's doing now?
Oh, he's a part of the Left Behind franchise now.
We were going to try and be extras on this. It's a super Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because I know what's his name was on it, Kirk Cameron.
Yes. And that's what we're talking about, but it's so low budget. I'm like, dude, we could totally get on this.
Interesting. So,
and I was like, now Sorbo's doing it? I'd love to meet Sorbo. I love Sorbo.
Get Sorbo in here. We love Sorbo.
Jesus and stuff.
I watched every episode. I'm dead serious.
I went to Catholic school, wasn't molested. So yeah. I'm on his team.
Sorb. That's perfect. That's perfect for reason to come on.
Yeah.
Mike made it through because of your Hercules performance.
Because of Hercules.
The legendary journey.
I was like, Hercules wouldn't want you to do this, Father.
Aeolus will protect me. That was his friend's name.
I never saw it.
Oh, that's great.
I never saw it.
When he went to Ireland and he started getting into the Irish myths. That's like the last season of the show.
I gotta watch this.
Something happened and he disappeared. I forget what happened. He got into a fight with like Hera or something, and she like beat his ass, and he like had to recover. So they sent him to Ireland, and he ends up meeting up with Irish deities from like Celtic myth.
I'm into
like,
this.
I'm like, dude, this is great.
You just
I'm
sold
like,
me on Hercules.
I'm like, oh my god, dude, Hercules is great. If you're Xena is okay.
Yeah.
I love Lucy Lawless.
Yeah, she's rad.
Fantastic actress. That show is shit. It's fun to watch if you like Lucy Lawless like and silly. You like the Hercules show.
It's like, yeah.
It's very not good quality after that. And it's like, you can tell. But Hercules Legendary Journeys, man, I used to love that show. The cheesy effects that, like, you could tell were digital. But it's like, I didn't care. At that time, they were just coming out, digital effects. It was like, dude, that's a Hydra. And
I'm
like, it's not a real Hydra.
Yeah, it's clearly it looks like your video belief. I watch a bit of Merlin, the BBC one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it had, like, a similar vibe.
I watched the Robin Hood
BBC. Oh, yeah, I watched that some of that, too.
Really good. I'm a BBC fan. There's some good shit.
I'm interested. So he's in that... doing the Left Behind now.
Yeah, the newest one, yeah.
Is it a new movie or is it a series that they're going to...
I think they're rebooting.
I think it's like a reboot of the series.
It's like, totally so I feel like it, for some reason, it evoked Sharknado to me. So I would like to mash those up. Like Sharknado.
Christian Sharknado.
Yeah, like this is it. This is the... You know what I mean? No, it's just a fucking tornado. No, well, it's a Sharknado.
You don't even need to get that extreme anymore because they have Cocaine Bear. So now you can do like Ecstasy Jaguar.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or Ecstasy Draft.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, yeah. Molly Sloth.
Molly Sloth. That's great.
It's a good one.
It seriously. That.
Well, to bring it back around off of drug fueled animals, your solo album's coming out. What formats is that going to be available on?
Formats like streaming services.
Streaming, are you going to have physical copies?
Yeah, invariably. So everything is set. The art is done. I have it ready to go. What are we calling it? Digitally in June. I will have hard copies as well at shows and stuff. And I think I will have, my goal is by the holidays to have vinyl, press 100 vinyl.
Do you have a place for it?
What do you mean?
We have a connection.
Cool.
Vinyl press.
Great.
Rough House Records.
Yeah.
These guys own a vinyl pressing facility, and they said that we have a connect there.
Solid. I won't forget that, and I will pursue that.
Yeah. All right. And let me know if you do. This is my guy. Like,
thank you. Yeah, I'm really stoked. Brian Langan has done the artwork, and he's in got a real strong creative voice in many disciplines. He created this really bizarre and awesome piece from some of my stories. The album is very personal. I'm an inside out sort of artist. I'm not an outside in guy, although I'm trying to change that now a little bit. It looks like a what do you call those comics? A graphic novel. It looks very much like a graphic novel. And then when you open it inside, it's a picture of my mom and some other shit that is going to be very cool. And that'll be all digital. And then we'll have some hard copies. I'm getting merch. I'm trying to get prices for merch. Hopefully.
Very nice.
Yeah, merch.
We want to get a lunchbox. Brutal Dudes lunchbox.
That's a fun merch thing to get.
That's what I said. We're looking towards that. What else are we doing? Shirt?
I think, like,
I didn't get anything.
You want to get anything, you said?
Yeah, I think anything.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and listen to you. I apologize that I haven't known. I don't yet. But because that. You know, because what I'm saying is, you see me, I'm holding something right here. And for merch, I think it should be one of your inflated nuts. Like,
yes, dude. You should
get like a brutal dude.
Brutal ball.
Put a face
brutal ball!
Get a brutal ball.
You know what I mean? Now there's got to be a Jared Leto thing too. I'm just going to put this down right here because I feel like I was very committed to it.
No,
and I have some sanitizer.
You spent a lot of time holding Jimmy's ball. Yeah.
Clown.
Yeah. He was very delicate with your ball.
Yeah. Taking a meatball.
Can I get more breadcrumbs?
That's your macaroni grill. That's
true. I never go far from macaroni grill. Oh, that's a musical. So they open up a macaroni grill, or they closed it at Oxford Valley. There's a Cane's Chicken near Oxford Valley in Bucks County. And that was where I worked for many years. And I have a mind that just once a year, I'm going to go to Cane's and order macaroni grill items and like do it as like a ghost and see if they take it. I'm like, yeah, can I help you, sir? Welcome to Cane's. What can I get for you? I'm like, can I have a penne rustica? A pasta Milano, all the gratinata sauce. A penne arrabbiata. They're like, sir, did you want chicken or no? You know, I don't know. We'll see.
What kind of chicken do you want?
Yeah, I'm like, Bellinopoli with extra. Anyway.
So. No, that's a great idea.
I don't know. It's a fucking
you should also finish it, though. What I would do if you could finish it, have somebody run in and pull your ghost mask off and be like, it was righteous the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah. I would have gotten away with it. Yeah.
Wasn't for your damn Cane's chicken.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's fantastic, dude. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. Vinyl.
Vinyl CDs. Stuff, dude. I'm just
we're getting cassette tapes.
Are they popular? Like, I don't know what you do.
I mean, I like them.
I wanted to ask you about what you do here and all this. So, yeah, like, I would get tapes because it just feels trendy. You know, I feel like a poser. You know what I mean? Like, fuck it, I'll do it. You know, if Jared Leto likes it, I'm doing it. Okay. Yeah, tapes. I mean, and then what? Like, where do we? How far do we keep going back? Got the vinyl, get the tapes.
Well, A-tracks too.
A-tracks, they're expensive.
You know what though. I mean? Start just getting like.
I've done two A-tracks. They're really? Very, yeah, they're very expensive.
Mike is in, Mike's in the band Pagan.
Yeah.
And Rust Belt.
And Rust Belt, yeah.
Is this folk music?
Pagan is. Christian folk music.
It's actually.
Acoustic.
It's like Sharon Lewis and Bram. It's like the Elephant Show.
I'm the bongo player. That's why we do the show together.
That's how we first connected. I actually reached out to them to come on the show, Sharon Lewis and Bram.
Yeah.
Heard back. I really would love to have them on the show because they were so formative to me when I was a child.
That's cool.
I love that show. Elephant Show. You remember that show?
Yeah. That's the, which one? Get a Murray. That's why I just did that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
On their Canadian.
I love just the Canadians. Brand. We were at Fridays today and with our kids, and we're watching the basketball games. My kids are obsessed with basketball. And an older gentleman at the bar was just, you know, talking sports with the boys. And I didn't say much. But Noble and Ronan, they were both very enthusiastic and they know quite a bit. And so then the guy pivoted from basketball and said, what are you into? What's your favorite? You're rooting for the Phillies? He says, hey, you think the Phillies are going to win tonight? And then Noble says, I'm a Blue Jays fan. And then the guy went and was like, oh, the Blue Jays. And he looked right
at me. He's like, fuck you, kid.
Right at me. No, he looked right at me like,
you son of a bitch.
Said, yeah. American team, you know? And I was like,
well, hey, what are you, a fucking commie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Free healthcare, you fucking jerk.
Yeah, literally, the eyeballs of the man had told the story. And then Ronan, our little guy, and he was like, yeah, I'm a Jets fan, too. Oh, yeah, like, I mean, like, we're not.
I get it. I love your kids already. Jimmy knows this. I'm not a sports guy. I never was. Not
really. Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I would get Dallas Cowboys stuff.
Just to fuck.
And we're just to fuck with people.
Fun, dude. Yeah. All your
just to fuck with people.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So I get it. I get it.
From your tattoo to your fucking t-shirts to your red hair to your Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
What is your tattoo of?
The one that was on my back. Ironically, it's a cross. There, yeah. You think they would be cool with that? That one's a cross, yeah.
And it's right side up.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's even the right way.
Jesus with a bucket of chicken.
I had a quick short film idea when you said that you got in trouble for that, where it was like, what are we gonna do about this Mike and his tattoo? And they're like, someone's like, I have an idea. You dress him up like a girl, and that works. And so they dress you up in Catholic school.
They're like, now he's just slutty.
No
sport involved. Like,
you can't wear a t-shirt, but you can dress up like a girl. And we're
the priest is like, change into this.
Yeah, this will be fine. This is the caveat.
What shirt we're giving you?
Father, do you want to walk out of the room? No. No, I don't. If you could do it slowly, that would be great. I'm just gonna put this Maxwell CD on.
Put some glory.
No, fuck. Oh, buddy, you made me think of no. Slower. From True Lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a jacket in your motorcycle.
Nice Maxwell reference, man.
Thank you.
That's fucking impressive. I love Maxwell. I wish he wasn't affiliated with that story.
He's coming.
Every time you listen to Maxwell on air, you'd be like, damn it.
His last name, right?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. Because I think he goes by Maxwell, whatever his last name is now. Because I saw Bill on Turnpike the other night.
Oh, really? Wait. Oh, you mean Maxwell House?
Maybe. No. I thought you were being serious.
No. You're like, wait, I know that name.
It's the Maxwell House?
It's really interesting. It's like grindy. It's like grindcore.
I'm really in the Chock Full of Nuts.
Oh, Juan Valdez plays a wonderful bongo.
Yeah, good stuff. Fun, man.
And what genre is your solo album?
My music, you're so sweet to keep bringing it back.
This is why we're a good team.
Yeah, it's eclectic. Just off the rails. Yeah, it's fine. I'm down with whatever. It's very eclectic, which feels sort of, unfortunately, like passe or trite, you know. And I'm very eclectic. You can't put me in a fucking box, man. I know how that might sound, the first track's got like a straight up rock and roll track. The second track has like a sort of a soul sort of R&B vibe. Third track is I think it's the spaciest, weirdest, longest song on the album. It's called Happy Ishtar. And it's just wild and weird and fucking weird. And then I got like three folk tunes. And then the song that I'm really excited about is called Kung Fu and Sandwiches. And it's my first rap, you know, which again is also, nice. You know, 40-year-old white dude. I understand how it sounds and looks. Not that I should give a fuck to people who are judgmental.
Yeah.
I have to live my authentic self. And so, but you know,
the streets. So, I mean,
it's true. So that's called, so that's coming up. So it's kind of all over the place. A couple of weird, psychedelic, interludes on the album, I produced, so it incorporates a lot of my daddy baggage. You guys think you have good dads. So,
No, Mike has daddy baggage. I'm okay. I mean, I have baggage, but I just bring it up to his face.
I think I'm pretty well adjusted.
Yeah,
you have baggage, but I mean, that's
I'm pretty well adjusted.
Yeah,
yeah, it's cool.
If I say it a few times, if I say it a few times, it's real. Yeah, I'm pretty well adjusted.
I got a song. I started an open mic, a storytelling open mic in Doylestown on Monday nights, and I have this comedian, Philly cat named Jay Simpson, hilarious comic. And he's coming up, and in honor of him, he's like a singer songwriter, singer songwriter. And I said, in honor of you, my friend, I will finish my comedy song, which is called "Sit on My Face, Dear," and it's sang in an old standard style.
I like it.
Yeah. May I?
A little? Oh, please do. Okay. Please do. You'll be our first live performance.
Really, just a little acapella of what I can recall. So there's like a preamble. I can't remember quite what you call it in music, but it's something to the effect of, I'll get to the chorus. So it's like, times have come back to this. You know that I can't resist your kiss. It's your smell and your eyes and your feel and your eyes. Sit on my face, dear. Sit on my face. On my face you will smother. My heart will turn butter. And I'll never go away. Something like that.